when I get up in the morning, I have this weirdness of when I get up in the morning, sometimes I like to scroll through like Twitter and stuff, and I'm always amazed at some of the posts that come up with the hashtag of I woke up this way. So, y'all play that video real quick. Watch this. Maybe. Cross our fingers that the video is going to play. The video is not going to play either? All right, so I'll give you the gist of the video then, because obviously something is totally spazzing out. No, don't restart it. I know what the issue is, but it's fine. We're not going to fix it. So the gist of the video works out about like this. This girl wakes up in bed, gets out of bed, goes to the bathroom, looks at herself in the mirror, goes, So she brushes her teeth, does her hair, puts on some makeup, goes and lays in bed, takes her phone and goes, shh. Yeah, there we go. Hit play. There we go. The caption, good morning, hashtag I woke up like this. No, you didn't. All right, clear it. It's on a loop. I'm gonna drop kick the computer in a little bit. So what I did is I went through Twitter and I found some of the most interesting ones from this morning. Okay? So go to the first one. Literally, he hashtagged it, I woke up this way. I'm like, first of all, you're outside. Second of all, you're in overalls. Like, yeah, I'm not buying it, and we're not going to go in there to it all, but I seriously doubt the sun was at that angle when he woke up. So, next one. Yeah, right. She's at like a cafe with perfectly done hair, perfectly done makeup, sunglasses. All you did not wake up this way. Next one. Yeah, maybe, minus the hat. Like, I've slept in a hat before. That brim does not wake up straight. Y'all should try it. All right, next one. Really? The jacket, the perfectly done hair, the eyebrows, the beanie. I'm just saying, I woke up this way. All right, next one. Really? He woke up in behind a bush of like flowers and stuff. All right, next one. She is on a roof in heels and a dress. Really? Valid point. Next. Come on. Really? Yeah, not buying it. Next one. I love this one. I put this up. So, literally, looking a mess this afternoon. Been out here working all morning. The weather's beautiful. Legs hurt, arms hurt, feels awesome. Blah, 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 blah. I woke up like this. This afternoon? No, you didn't. I don't even know. Next one. This is greatness. Literally, greatness. Beyonce, right? Beyonce looked flawless at the Grammys. I woke up this way? It's still stupid. I get it. It's a song on that one, but it was just weird that it shows up in this thing with all these people that are like just out of bed. Anyways, I think that's the last one, isn't it? No, there's one more. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. I think realistically most of us wake up like this, right? Right? Like, isn't that how most of us wake up in the morning? Close? Like, okay, so guys, you might know this. If you've started dating girls, you should know this. But when you go into the bathroom in the morning, what is it that you're doing? What's the phrase that it's talked about? It may not be anymore, but it used to be. What? Putting on your face. Maybe because you woke up like this? Hey, don't laugh, because you do it too. I'm just saying, we all wake up looking not quite so pretty. All right, so, y'all can shut those off, whatever. All right, so, why do we get ready in the morning? So we don't look like that, right? Absolutely. So we spend the first part of our day getting ready because we want to be better. That's our desire, okay? We want people to see what we can be and not necessarily what we always are at the very beginning. Like, I don't know about you guys, I'm not a morning person. So me at like 7 o'clock in the morning is not a good person. Okay, it's not fun to be around. Give me an hour or two to wake up, or let me sleep till like 10 or 11, and we can be friends. But at 7 in the morning, no. So I'll tell you a story. 2 years ago, we got a men's retreat. A couple of things happened that night at men's retreat. One of them was there were bed bugs. So it's probably like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. At this point, when everybody's realizing there's bed bugs, I'd gone to bed at 4. So a certain somebody and another certain somebody, both of good friends of mine, are like yelling at the top of their lungs because either they have bed bugs or it's time to get up in the morning. I wanted to shoot both of them. Extremely good friends of mine. No. Trey's like, I wasn't one. No, that really happened. But that's the thing. Had that been like 11 in the morning, I'd have been good. Okay? I just don't function that early in the morning. So my thing is, if you show up in the morning, walk in front of a mirror, and you're like, I look like crap. Are you going to do something about it, or are you just going to walk out the door? Every one of y'all lies. But you did something about it nonetheless. Like, the average person doesn't wake up and be like, I look terrible. Oh, well. Are you saying your friend looks like crap? Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I get it. There are days, there are legitimately days where we wake up and we're like, I look good today. So you just go ahead and walk on out the door. But that doesn't happen every single day, okay? So usually when we see something that needs to be changed, we actually take the time, stop, and do it. We don't just let it be. So 20 years after Jesus has died, buried, been raised again, his younger brother James writes a book. That's where we're headed tonight. So you can all just flip on over to James, okay? So it's like the next to last book almost. So, go on, James. All right, so here's how this works, okay? James is writing this book. James is writing this book to a group of Christians. All right, I'll wait till y'all get done so that I can talk. I'm good with it. Okay, so James is writing a book to a group of Christians. They've left Jerusalem because it's dangerous to live there. They're getting arrested, they're getting persecuted, they're getting killed. So they left to go other places. The problem is some of them stopped living out their faith. They just quit. They still believed in God. They still believed that he could take away your sins, but they just kind of quit actually living it. So it was easier this way. So we're going to James 1, starting in verse 22. Okay? So in verse 22, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. They fell into the same trap that we sometimes fall into. We sit here on a Wednesday night and we listen to what's going on and we think, that's good enough. I went to church. I picked a Bible up out of a pew and set it on the floor. I'm good. Because God's just worried that I believe in him, right? No. He's looking for more. James tells us he's looking for more. They're deceiving themselves. They're tricking themselves into thinking something that wasn't true. So, going down to verse 23, it says, if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. So, anybody can hear God's word, knows how they should live, and God's speaking to them saying, I should live like this, or I shouldn't live like this. But hearing it and knowing that you're supposed to make a change is like looking in the mirror going, dang, I look like crap, and walking away and doing nothing about it. So, like Ethan said, wakes up in the morning, maybe he doesn't care about nothing else, but he puts a little gel in his hair, slicks his hair back, okay? There's at least something that's being done. There's an action there to fix something that's not quite right. The same thing happens. God turns around and he gives us his word and he says, hey, look, this is what I'm trying to show you. Now, he's not necessarily looking for you to turn around and flip your entire life on its head. Maybe he's just looking for you to put a little gel in your hair and slick it back. Okay? To not fix what we're doing wrong, to not fix what we see wrong in the morning, defeats the purpose of having a mirror. Like, seriously, why would you look at the mirror morning after morning after morning and go, I look like crap, and walk out the door? Like, why have a mirror? Why look at it? Because what? Like, there's literally no point. If you're not going to care what you look like, then why look in the mirror? So, James finishes the thought with a promise. Verse 25. If you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So, have you ever, like, gone out, hung out with some friends, come home, you look in the mirror and you get ready to brush your teeth and you've got that like piece of lettuce stuck in between your teeth right there in the front? No? Or you've got like that booger sticking out of your nose? No? Okay, y'all are all totally perfect. I don't get it, but it's happened to me. Or maybe it's this one. You ever been in public and somebody's like, hey, fix your fly? Travis is like, I've been there. You had a hole in your butt. I'm going to leave that alone. All right, so anyways, wouldn't it have been nice if we could have had a mirror and stopped some of those things instead of walking around public with like a booger dangling around? Of course. This is what it is. It's saying, hey, look, there's a booger hanging out of your nose. Do you want to fix it? That's what the word's doing. And it says, if you do this, then your life's going to be blessed. Why? Maybe because you're not going to do something dumb. Okay. We spent a lot of time this year learning how God wants us to live. Right relationships with parents, right relationships dating, how to follow God, how to be a disciple, okay? The thing is, if we don't take any of what has been learned and actually apply it to our lives, we're not doing ourselves any good. Okay? I was just talking to Mariah a minute ago. What is the Bible? A book. So, normally with a book, you pick it up and you read the book. Boom, 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 done. Right? Here's the difference. This book has truths in it to help your life be better. Like, straight up reading Harry Potter is not going to make your life better. You might be a little happier. You might enjoy something, but it's not going to make your life better. The whole idea behind this is look at it, read it, and find out what God is trying to show you to make your life better. Maybe you're sitting there saying, man, my relationship with my parents sucks. What if I told you the answer was right here? Because I promise you it is. Want to know who you're supposed to date and who you're supposed to marry? It's right here. You don't believe me? Guys, you want to know what kind of woman you're supposed to marry? Read Proverbs 31. Girls. I've never seen Tristan flip the Bible so fast in my life. All right, girls, you want me to tell you what guy you're supposed to marry? Read Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Christian's starting to hate me. Every time his girlfriend shows up, I start busting on relationships. He thinks I'm targeting them. Really, it has nothing to do with that at all. But it's a long chapter. Tristan, God, I know this is the woman I'm supposed to marry, but I don't have time to read this. Sorry. Can I have the Cliff Notes version? No. So the thing is, the answer to life's problems in some form or fashion are right here. And yet we wander through life going, God, how do I fix this? God, what do I do about this? God, why would you let this happen? Yet we don't read it. We show up on a Wednesday night. We don't pay attention to the guy speaking. We don't pay attention to what's being read in the Word. And then we wonder why life goes badly. Like, it's probably one of the most frustrating things in my job to sit here and have people that don't listen on a Wednesday night, and the next thing I know, within the next couple of years, they're sitting in my office needing counseling and guidance and input on what the next piece of life is, and it's usually a problem that they could have been prevented had they listened for the last couple of years. And yet, I sit in my office, and they're like, I don't know what happened and why I did this, and I'm like, I could tell you, but you'd get mad at me. Like, our answers are here, but we choose not to pay attention, not to listen. Like, we sit here and we say, hey, guys, we should read the Bible more. It'll help you. And then we're like, hey, how did your Bible reading go last week? It's like, oh, I didn't do it. I didn't have time. Okay. Like, if there was a book written by, like, Beyonce about how to have the best life ever, we'd read it. But when the God of the universe writes a book, we're like, I ain't got time for that. Like, the whole idea is the Bible is supposed to be a mirror that we hold up to ourselves that shows us what God wants to change. The question is, are we actually going to change it and do something about it? Okay? Like my friend Tristan over here. Tristan's dying to know what kind of girl he's supposed to marry. He flipped over to Proverbs 31 in a quick. It is. Let me give you the answer to that picture. If you want her, if you want that woman, your answer is to become the Ephesians 6 guy. Because the Proverbs 31 woman doesn't want somebody that's not an Ephesians 6:1 guy. So instead of looking at the girl saying, you need to change, you need to change, you need to change, the Bible's saying, if you'll change, I'll bring you the one. But that's not how we want to play it. You know the number one complaint when people go into marriage counseling? They won't change. The finger's always pointed. They won't change. Number one complaint. You know how many things Emily's changed since we've been married? Not really, that's a total lie, but it sounded good for the illustration. So, anyways, I'm done. Short and sweet, simple and easy. Nobody's paying attention anyways, so y'all can head off into small groups and it's all good. Y'all can head off into small groups and it'll hammer it in.